Born and raised in the motherland, chasing a better life. Story of an immigrant.
Concrete pastures.
Concrete pastures.
Concrete pastures.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Concrete Pastures. My name is Nancy Mlemwasisi, and if you're new here, welcome, and let me tell you the community you are joining. This is a community of your fellow dreamers and your fellow immigrants, and this is the platform where we inspire each other through our stories, and we also give insight on what it's like to be an immigrant anywhere in the world. And if you'd like to inspire someone out there, please feel free to reach out to me. On today's episode, this is a continuation of my conversation with Mr. Charlie. This was a three-part conversation. And if you haven't heard part one, please do so. Mr. Charlie gives so much insight on what it was like on first adjusting to the new unknown with his family here in the U.S. I also want to remind you that this was a video interview, and it's going to be coming out soon on YouTube, and I want you guys to be able to put the face to the names you're hearing and the voices you're hearing. I cannot wait for you guys to actually see the video as well. Please enjoy part two, and if you like what you hear, again, please let Mr. Charlie know. I'll put his information at the end of this episode. Enjoy. Do you regret anything? Do you regret coming to the U.S.? Do you regret being in Canada at this point in your life?
I miss home. That is for sure. Regret? No. I'll be telling a lie that I regret having made the move. Like you have rightly said, when we come here, how many people are we carrying on our shoulders? So if we say we regret coming here, probably we are forgetting how many people we have helped to go to school, how many people we are helping go to good health care. So I don't think any immigrant, and unless you left something back home, which was much more than you have here. But coming here, I think, has been an opportunity for a lot of us.
Well said, well said, for sure. Do you still have family back home? Have you been back home since being here?
I have a lot of family back home. I have four sisters, one brother.
Oh, wow. And big family.
And a lot of nephews. When my mom died, I think it was 2004, when she died, the announcement was made that she had seven kids. I don't know about the grandchildren, and then the grandchildren altogether was 97. That was from my mom's line. So there's a lot of my people back home.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry about your mom. But have you been...
Well, she lived a life beyond, I think she died when she was 94, something like that.
Wow.
But she lived a life. We wouldn't...
That's a blessed life. 94 is a blessed life. Because she got to see all her kids and her grandkids.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, no, that's beautiful. That's the blessing.
And I'm the last born. I always talk to her.
You're the baby.
Yes, it was very special. I attribute actually some of my little success to how the love I received from my mom.
No, talking about mothers, this is the reason why I'm doing this. My mom took us from really nothing to being here where I am today. And this I contribute to her because I want her to see, like, look at what you did.
Yeah, correct.
And it's her love and her contribution and me, her just cheering me on, and you can do it.
Yeah,
you can go on, do it. And being a single mother, it's a lot to do.
Yeah. You asked if I go home. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to go home like every year. Uh-huh. But then COVID came. So my last journey to Zambia was 20, 19. That's when COVID started. So I haven't been to Zambia past 3 years. This year, I told people, COVID or no COVID, I'm going to Zambia.
Yeah.
Omicron or no nothing, I am going to Zambia. We are done. We are done.
No, for sure, for sure. I was thinking also and contemplating of going. My kids have never seen my mom. You know, the life of immigrants. I've never met my mom. And I would thank God for technology. They get to see her on WhatsApp and whatever videos that we do with her. But how is the process? Because I know when I first went back home in 2012, it was it took 1 year for me to plan going to Zambia. How is it for you going home?
I just pack and go. It is, you start usually 1 year, I'm sure 1 year in advance.
Yeah.
When I was in the U.S., my status would not allow me to go anyhow. I think at one point my visa had expired. And that is actually another life of a migrant. We need to talk about how to make sure you stay in status.
But
we had no one to advise us. We were just scared to go to immigration. Yeah, I go to immigration, they'll tell me to go back home. But that's not really what they do. So we had lived in the United States for 12 years, never went to Zambia because of immigration status. I first went to Zambia when I came to Canada, because here we had
all the right papers.
So that build up time, the expectation back home of what you're going to take back home kills you. So the buying the air ticket is not the hard part.
No.
It is you going to fulfill that expectation. That was the hard feeling. I remember telling my sisters, I don't have a lot of money, even when I'm coming. I'm just happy to come and see you. So please do not expect much.
Yeah.
No. Everyone had the list of stuff they wanted. So that was, but after you go there, I think everyone after 10 years, 12 years, they want to see you. The following trips you make, you can just call them. I'm only here for 2 weeks. I don't think I'll make it to the Copper Belt. There is something you need to share with them, you share with them. It is much easier. So, but what I say is, prepare when you're going to Zambia. Money flies when you're in Zambia. Like, literally fly. I used to spend, one of the times when I go to Zambia, you spend like $100 a day. Equivalent to about $100 minimum you're spending per day. Mm-hmm. I don't spend that kind of money even per week here.
Yeah.
You know, when we buy our food, we buy everything is in the fridge. That's it. Until the next paycheck. Or maybe gas. Even gas, when I get paid, you fill up the tank until the next paycheck. When you're in Zambia, the demand for money, not only from people, I don't know what it is. So prepare well when you are planning to go to Zambia. Money can be, and there is nothing Nancy being so bad as being broke when you're in Zambia. You come from America. It can be excruciating. It can be excruciating experience.
Listen, I can definitely relate to preparing. Mm. The anticipation of when I was going, I was taking my then husband to meet my family.
Yeah.
The whole plane, I was just like, oh my God, I was so agitated. We took South African Airways where they were like, they give you alcohol, they give you, like, they treat you well in the plane. But still, I'm just like, nervous. I'm like, I haven't been there. I haven't seen my friends. I haven't seen anybody in a long time. My sisters. And when getting there, the same thing, spending $100 per day, it's a lot of money.
It is
a lot of money. People expect a lot of you, which I think I want to have people like our loved ones back home. They need to be able to understand where we're coming from. It takes a long time to be able to establish yourself. And for us to make those trips, I mean, I took suitcases. The same thing. People had lists of what they wanted. Like my sisters were very simple. Just get me powder for my face, blah, blah, blah. But still, you feel an obligation.
Obligated, yes.
To get something more. They haven't seen me in so many years. And going back home, I might ask you just like, give your people, wherever they are in the world, when they are coming home for the first time or second time, or whenever they are coming to visit, enjoy them.
Enjoy them.
Instead of them.
Just be happy. Exactly.
What they are bringing for you, because it takes so long to be successful as an immigrant anywhere. Because first of all, you have to adjust to everything else and being able to get that good job. For some of us that went to school, it took me a long time. I had to do high school over, and then I did college. And then I was doing college and going to work. And like you, I was doing nursing before. And then I was like, you know what? Forget this. Let me just continue with what I'm doing. So I was like, I'll be in financing and just continue with that. And thank God I've been very successful in it. But it doesn't mean I don't have my own responsibilities. If I go home, or if you see us as we come home, just be
happy that we
showed up. Yes. Yeah. And celebrate us, and you know, let's enjoy each other in that way, instead of expecting so much, because the pressure is already on us. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, what am I giving my family? And sometimes we go through things. Our challenges are even bigger when you are by yourself. A lot of us are by ourselves, and when you're by yourself, you don't have that community, that support to support you when you're going through things or challenges financially or whatever it is. So when we go home, maybe that's what we're all just looking for. Just that support. And
That's all. Just to go and have fun.
Would you say you found your concrete pastures at this point in your life?
No.
Oh, nice. Okay.
No.
Could you elaborate a little bit?
My concrete passion, I will tell you, is... still remains Zambia. So coming to America, coming to Canada has not changed my concrete passion, and that is Zambia, to see a better Zambia. However, being here has given us a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would think of coming to Canada or coming here only in financial terms. Yes, even in financial terms, I think it has given us an A. If you use it well, you found your passion. But knowledge, being in the United States, being in Canada, without even going to school, it is a school by itself.
I agree.
To see how people do things. Still, there is what we call, is it African time or Zambian time? If there is anything like that in the world called Zambian time. And then you see how much people here respect their time.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that your job and my job in our time to school, we were always on time.
Yep.
But what is it that when the way they do their politics has been that knowledge of looking at the way politics evolve? I am one guy who hates central government. Yesterday, I was telling my wife how in America, it's even a little bit different. In Canada, when it comes to a decentralized government, it's even worse. You hear about Washington, D.C., the senators, the Congress, a lot in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, Ottawa is the capital of Canada. You hear very, very little about the capital. Very, very little. Or about the prime minister, for that matter. Wow, in America, the president of the United States is the highest office in the land, blah, 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 whatever.
Every day we hear about it.
Every day. So that is a difference. I've seen what it does when people are free from what I call a Lusaka syndrome. Everything in Zambia is Lusaka. Lusaka, Lusaka, Lusaka. And you can see it in the lifestyle. It's not very different from where we are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk away just a little bit away from Lusaka into Kafue, you are in a different country.
Yep.
Over here, however, even small town I live in called Okotoks, it has about 30,000 people. It's a small town, independent even from the province. They run their own affairs. Mm. 30,000 people, they have, I would probably say, I've told people, 10 banks, 10 feeding stations, if not more. Everything, you know. Back home, a town of 100,000, which is Lundazi in the Eastern Province, has no bank. Have you found your passion? That was a concrete passion? No. I would want to see what I've seen here. Maybe I can take that knowledge back home. Part of what I've found, again, the access to knowledge, which I want to speak to a lot of our people who are going to be listening. We have access to internet 24/7 if you are not working. When I come from work, my wife complains, all you do is come upstairs on your computer. The information nowadays, Nancy, is on our fingertips. The access to information, be in Zambia, being everywhere, we've got. So, have you found your passion in here? No, to Zambia, but I have found a lot of things which can help me, help our people to transform my country. And I think about that every day. If that means what I found my passion, maybe I'll probably say it has given us the resources, it has given us the knowledge, the access to finance, access to, you know, medical health, all those it has given us.
Yeah.
Having said that, even if it has given me all these things, Zambia will always be my passion.
Listen, well said. Everybody's concrete pastures is different.
Correct.
And for some people, like you said, it's just being able to have medical.
Correct.
That medical insurance, being able to go home, like in your case, maybe one day when you retire, you want to go home and bring some of the knowledge that you've learned in the U.S., in Canada, and bring that to the villages. That we have in our country. Because you're right. When you were in Lusaka, it's very different. When I would go visit my grandmother in Mongu. Mongu is a whole different town, operates differently. And I mean, I remember we only had like one bank, Standard Chartered. That was it.
Yeah.
The whole town at that time. But I don't know how what other banks they have right now. And I remember when I was living there when I was young, it's time to go to school, you buy new shoes. Of course, we're growing kids. We only had one store, the Bata store.
Correct.
One store. And that's where we'd go buy our school shoes. And then forget about school uniforms. Forget about it. And part of the reason why I've actually created this platform is to be able to give back to those type of areas where some places that don't even have a roof. On the schools, and during rainy season they don't have they can't go to school.
Correct.
Kids can't go to school because there's no roof. It's when it rains it pours in our country, like it's a lot of rain.
Correct.
So the school closes up until summer. How will people get their education? And we are here, so the resources that we are learning, the resources that we have, the knowledge that we have, it's not always about the money. Me and you have spoken about this, actually. And I spoke to one of my good friends who was actually in Russia. He went to school in Russia and now he's back home. He actually goes in depth of, you know, it's not always about the money that we think of money. But when we go back home, whenever we decide to retire, it's also the knowledge that we'll be able to learn. We've been exposed to so much.
So much, yeah.
And that exposure, we can bring that to our country. And be able to build our country in a way that we want to see it. The way we want our kids to be able to see it in the years to come, our grandkids, whoever. And if you're listening to this, wherever you are in the world, if you have resources, you have the knowledge, and you're thinking and hoping of one day retiring and going home and contemplating, it's not always just about the money that you have. Your knowledge that you have is enough. Zambia right now is a canvas. It's a blank canvas. You can bring whatever you have, whether it's a restaurant that's incredible that you like, you could take it there. I mean, we have South African restaurants most of the time in Zambia. We have Nando's. We have all of those South Africans. They're able to bring their stuff from South Africa to our country. Why can't we bring America or Canada or Australia or London to Zambia as well. Because every country provides something different.
Correct.
Well, I can talk to you for
hours and hours. The whole day.
Yes. But I'm so grateful for you, like you inspiring me and you inspiring the community. I am so glad that you decided to join and support the community. So some of my last questions to you. What are some of the stereotypes that you've experienced? Like for me, this was when I first came here. They used to ask me, what do you see when you open your window? Outside your window, what do you see? Did you experience some of those stereotypes of being African and, you know, when you tell them you're from Zambia?
My first time, Nancy, to move out of Zambia to go abroad, I went to UK. I spent 1 year. I went to school in United Kingdom. In this church I used to attend, there was a guy called Ramsey. I hope he's there. I'll send my pastor a note. Is Ramsey still around?
So hello, Ramsey. We're sending you love from the US.
Yeah, I know.
Canada.
So Ramsey comes to me on Sunday morning. Coming from Zambia, Kitwe, St. Margaret's, the youths there will tell you, we were very smart all the time. Thai, you know, at St. Margaret's, we used to look very smart. So I go to church in the United Kingdom with my tie, blah, blah, blah. Then Ramsey comes to me. And you say, oh, man, you look so smart. Do people wear ties in Zambia? So I'm like, Rams, we are in church. Don't let me punch you. But Ramsey.
Oh, my cheeks hurt.
People wear ties, Ramsey, in Africa. Oh, okay. So Ramsey goes away. Ramsey comes back next Sunday. So in Zambia, do people just drive Land Rovers? Is it just mountains? So,
oh my God,
those are some of the things I remember coming here. It was not. I can't remember. I think it was there, but I can't remember a situation in the US other than the story I told you about our landlord. We thought we were coming from a very poor place and therefore we can't afford rent and therefore we deserve
it. It worked in your favor.
It did. It did. And we were like, oh, yeah. It's done. I'm for real. It's tough. But probably not the way they see it. Thank you for the internet. I think it is opening up people's minds now.
Yes.
They see, they think. You come out, you find a lion outside.
Yeah, that was the main question they asked me. It's like, oh, what do you see out on the window? So I was like, I see the wall. The person was so shocked.
Yeah, like, I seen another house.
And I had to elaborate. Yeah. I'm like, yes, I live in a wall fence around my house. It's like, in a wall fence? You don't see animals? Yeah. I'm like, no, because of what they see on TV.
Because of what?
What they see on TV.
What they see on TV, Nancy, and probably what we sell ourselves.
Yes.
When we hear Zambia talk about tourism, we only talk about animals most of the time.
Yeah.
But there is more to tourism than just animals.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I say I'm going to either New York, I'm going to experience those big buses, the food, the dances, people in the street, there's some.
Yeah.
Those are part of tourism.
Yeah.
So let's bring those images of Africa other than just the animals.
I wanted just to laugh. I wanted the audience to laugh because I'm sure wherever they are in the world listening to us, they also have experienced their own stereotype. Because I don't know what it's like to be in Australia and being a Zambian there. And being here, I mean, people still get shocked that I speak English. Like, it's,
exactly.
they compliment me and say, oh my God, you speak very good English. In my case, I'm like, I don't know if I speak good English, but I can understand it.
I can communicate.
I can communicate. But they're like, you're from Zambia? I'm like, yes, you speak English? Mm. I even stopped explaining that this is our official language, by the way. I just stopped. I was like, okay, you know, I'll just take the compliment and keep it moving.
I mean, it is just the same stereotype what we think of America when we are in Zambia. The entire America is Hollywood.
Yes.
And then when you come to America, you don't have money to pay for this, money to pay. Oh, I thought there's money everywhere. You know? That is, I don't know if it's a bad stereotype. It is a stereotype.
It is a stereotype because people still think, I don't know, at least when I was still new here, 2002, it's like you come at the airport, there's a tree of money that you can just grab from that tree of money. There's no trees.
Yeah.
And Hollywood does an amazing job selling it to us. I even speak about it in the first episode as a solo episode. I bought into coming to America because of that.
Yeah.
Whatever I was seeing on TV, they were showing Times Square. Times Square is amazing.
It is.
You go there at night, it's fabulous.
Yeah.
And New York, I mean, what's not to like? Your favorite stars live here. The 1% live here. So,
yeah.
Wall Street. There's so much. But yes, whatever they show us, it is somewhat true. But the reality of being an immigrant is very challenging to be able to make it. You can make it, but it's a lot of work. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Mr. Charlie. I'm so grateful for Mr. Charlie once again for joining me and inspiring and pouring into our community. I hope you took away something from our conversation. And if you did and you like this conversation, please let us know. Reach out to Mr. Charlie. Let him know what inspired you, what you liked about our conversation. Again, this was a 3-part conversation. Part 3 is coming out next week. You do not want to miss it. As always, I'm leaving you with a quote. And this is one of my favorite quotes. And this is coming straight from Mr. Madiba, Nelson Mandela. I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Thank you again for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get yours. Share it with your family and friends. Tag me on your social media. I have Facebook, I have Instagram, whichever one that you use. I would also love to hear from you. Leave me a review. And if there's a topic you have in mind that you'd love for me to cover, let me know as well. Look out for new episodes every week on Mondays. And I truly appreciate you being part of the community and supporting the community. Until next time, keep dreaming.
Concrete pastures.